reading from the Shashtayam Sadhanam of Bhajan Rahasyam. We're discussing the understanding of the principle of bhava. What is bhava? Sadhana leads to bhava. Proper execution of sadhana bhakti will lead to attachment to Krishna, rag, asakti, and that asakti will lead to bhav, and that bhav will deepen into prema. So the definition of bhava we're trying to understand, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving different verses to illustrate it. So the second type of taste that develops at the level of bhava, first we heard about Bhagavat Prapti Abhilash. This is a type of ruchi, a taste, a deep devotional taste comes into the heart at the level of bhava, at the stage of bhava, which is, and when that taste is experienced due to different situations and circumstances in association with Krishna's name, Krishna's holy dham, Krishna's lila and his form, then we may be overwhelmed at ecstasy. And some tears may come, or some trembling of the body, or some choking of the voice. Nayanam galan ashudarya varanam gadgara uriyagira. So Bhagavat Prapti Abhilash means we have a strong desire to attain Krishna. Very strong. Based on our attraction to his form, the sweetness of his form, the Aishwarya aspect of his Rupa Madhurya, and the majestic aspect of his Aishwarya Rupam, the grander, majestic aspect. And a second type of taste is called anukulya, anukulya abhilash, desire to give service to Krishna that he likes. What does Krishna like? And what Krishna likes, what does he like? The best service, in other words, this is called anukulyena. And that's in the definition of bhakti itself. Anyabhilashita shunyam gyana karma dhiramitam anukulyena krishnanu shilam bhaktutama. So anukulya, we should render service that's favorable to Krishna. So then the next question is, what is he like? What is favorable? So then it's explained here that the best seva, the Krishna's most favorite thing is Radharani. So the best service is to bring Radha to meet Krishna and do sevas, like the type of sevas or services that are mentioned by Narottam Das Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in their works, in their different books, like Prarthana, Prem Bhakti Chandrika, Vilapkusamanjali, Sankalpa Kalpa Juma by Vishwanath. These books describe the different services, like decorating the divine couple, speaking in such a way, speaking very cleverly or in very wonderful, sweet words to increase Radha and Krishna's attachment to each other. When bhava bhakti touches the heart, feelings and desires to serve Radha and Krishna in variety of ways appear continuously in the heart. So this bhava bhakti has to touch the heart. It's almost like you may have a machine that will do so many, you may have some machine will carry out so many functions. Some of the machine may have a monitor and show some movies. Another part of the machine may be hooked up to an air conditioner and produce cool air. Another part of the machine may be playing music. Many things, one machine, many, but it has to be touched by something. For all those functions to be exhibited, that machine must be touched by electricity. So when the machine is touched by electricity, then all these variegated functions which the machine is set to perform will be seen in action. So the machinery of the heart, the machinery of the Atma, the potential of the Atma to love Krishna and Radha, to express varieties of love for Radha and Krishna, it must be activated. It must contact bhava bhakti. It must contact and that bhava bhakti comes from the powerhouse. Just like the electricity comes from the powerhouse, generating station, and is carried by a series of wires, or sometimes now they have microwave or whatever, towers broadcasting some type of energy. But conventionally, it comes by wires to the house, and then the wires connected contacts or touches, electricity touches the machine through the wire, then the functions are exhibited. So this Bhava Bhakti is in the heart of Krishna's associates. And it comes down through the wires. The powerhouse is the Nitya Parishads. Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, Rupa, Rati, and the Nitya Siddha Jivas or Nitya Siddha devotees in the Parampara, they are the conduits of this powerhouse. They are the booster stations along the way. So the wire that's bringing that power to us is called Parampara. So when we're connected to the Parampara, then we have an opportunity. The wiring is there, but we may have cut the switch. You may have wiring to your house and everything's wired, but then there's a cutout switch. You go like that and it separates the main supply from your house. And there's no electricity. So this power has come to our doorstep, and now we have to make that connection, and that's surrender. And identifying with them and surrender. Then the power comes. So when that bhakti, when that bhava bhakti from their heart touches our heart, when the connection is made, then all these things happen. The heart actually floods with feelings and desires to serve Radha and Krishna in a variety of ways. They appear continuously in the heart. In Bhava Bhakti, the devotee will arrange for Radha and Krishna to meet and do very many services for the pleasure of Radharani, brushing her hair, decorating her, painting her body with different designs. And when such strong feelings arise in the heart, this is called Anukulyena Abhilash. In other words, it's like this. At the stage of sadhana, it's called Shravanadasha. Shravanadasha means we're hearing. We read about the services of the eternal associates. Of course, that Shravanadasha takes different forms depending on the level we're on. As we advance to the level of Raganuga Sadhana, and we have a particular attraction to Krishna in a particular form. We're attracted, we're interested, we're attracted to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And we're interested in their pastimes. And we have some vague notion or vague attraction to their service. So we start reading about their pastimes in Vrindavan, start hearing about their servitors, and read these books by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das, hear about their services from a great distance. It's very far from us, but we say, oh, that's interesting, that's nice. Some appreciation, some mild attraction at the level of sadhana bhakti or raganuga sadhana. And as one becomes purified and identifies more and more with the eternal associates and receives actually more of their mercy and surrenders more, then he evolves to a point of receptivity and varnadasha, where he can actually accept these things. And then he becomes eligible to receive initiation or introduction into this whole area of service. That's when he attains bhava. Bhava touches his heart. And that level of bhava, then day and night he's just thinking about these pastimes and thinking about doing services. Before, in the stage of sadhana bhakti, you want to read about these and be attracted or interested. But then when one actually comes to the level of bhava, this becomes the very content of his feelings. Content of his heart. He says, Anukulyena Abhilash. He's desiring to render these favorable services. He's thinking, when I will do this service, and I will do that service, and this service, and that service. It's not some artificial thing you sit down and think, oh, it would be nice, I'll make a garland. You can be imaginative, and in any stage, anyone can use their imagination. That's a mental play. That's called kalpana. It's a mental play or kalpana. And it's okay, it's not bad. But it's not the same as bhava. Because in bhava, your heart automatically goes, you can't stop it. Nothing else comes in the heart. Nothing else will come in the heart to the level of bhava but desires for Radharani's service. Just like the service is outlined and mentioned by the great acharyas in Sankalpa Kalpa Dhruma and other books. So this is something of what this type of ruchi, the heart becomes softened at the level, the contact of bhava bhakti, the heart becomes very softened with these deep tastes, very, very deep. And uncontrollable ruchi. It's an uncontrollable ruchi. That's like someone, I don't know, very good analogy, but someone who's on heroin, addicted by heroin, and if he doesn't get his fix or his drug, then he's so much crazy. He's just thinking day and night, every moment, where is that, where is that, where is it? I have to have it, I have to have it. So this is the bhava, he's addicted. He's just day and night thinking of the service. There's nothing else crowding his mind, taking his mind here or there. So much ruchi, he has so much ruchi taste for serving. It's a natural taste. This is the svabhava, this is the natural taste. He doesn't have to think about it. Just he's pulled that way and forced that way. By the power, he's forced that way and pulled that way by the power of his bhava, by the power of his intense ruchi and feelings and softening of the heart due to the blessings of Radharani and Lita and Rupa and his Guru Sakhi and the Parampara. So this is bhava. It's a high state. Bhava Bhakti. And then this is the third type of taste that comes is Sohardha Abhilash, which means Surit Bhav. This word Harda means heart or Surit. Surit Bhav means desiring to serve the Lord with affection, heartly friendly feelings. Example. If you are staying at some temple, and every year or so, maybe the guru comes to visit you at that temple. The guru comes, and when he comes, you may have a desire to meet him, to cook for him, to do kirtan and render various personal sevas. So you may do those things. You have a desire, oh, my guru comes, I want to make a garland. You have some desire. He only comes every year, I want to do some seva. I want to render some personal service. And that want may be mixed with different personal ambition. I want to do seva to get something, to get recognition, to get mercy, to get something, to make advancement, whatever, something. But we have some wants to do seva. So we will do that service, but without feeling any intimacy. Where is the feeling? There's no feeling that you and I are one, like one soul. Your happiness is my happiness, because this is what's at the level of bhava. This is what happens with the devotee's heart. He feels so much for Radharani, for his Ishtadev, either Radharani or Krishna. In Manjari Bhav, his feelings will be like this for Radharani. Oh Radharani, you and I are one. We're like one soul. Your happiness is my happiness. Your success is my success. Like one heart and one soul. Like the exchanges between Srimati Radharani and Sri Rupa Manjari, which you can read about. Radha may be in one place, separated from Rupa Manjari, yet her feelings will manifest in Rupa Manjari's heart. And Surit Bhav, Surit means heart-to-heart friend, bosom friend, heart-to-heart, Surit, deep heart, clean heart, good heart. And Surit Bhav, the feeling comes, this Surit Abhilash, the feeling comes that I only want your benefit, whether it benefits me or not. I want your kalyan, your auspiciousness, all auspiciousness for you, nothing for me. Example. When Krishna went to Mathura, the gopis and Radharani were always crying. And Vasudeva was worried. And Vasudeva was always crying also in Mathura, Krishna's father. Because he was thinking, because Krishna left Vrindavan, the Brijvasis are always miserable, unhappy and crying. So Vasudeva was also, he was with Krishna. Krishna went to Mathura, he was staying with Vasudeva and Devaki. And he knew, Vasudeva had heard the reports, that after Krishna left Vrindavan, all the Brijvasis were simply crying day and night, worrying over Krishna. Because Krishna is their everything. Krishna is their soul, their heart and soul, their happiness, everything. The purpose of their life. They're very miserable. So then Vasudeva used to think, well, Krishna may run away from us and return to Braj. So then he decided, with Devaki, he decided, let us send Krishna far away to Ujjain to attend Gurukul. And then to... Then Krishna will be too far to run away. If we keep Krishna here in Mathura, I'm afraid that he may run back to Vrindavan. Because he can probably hear how they're crying all the way from here in Mathura. And if he runs away to Vrindavan, then he'll never come. How will he ever come back here again to Mathura? We can't trick him. And the last time we tricked him to come to a wrestling match with Kamsa's wrestlers. And he came, and we didn't trick him, but Kamsa tricked him, and now he stayed here. But his love is greater for them. I'm sure he may run away. So they were also fearful, Vasudeva. So in order to keep Krishna, keep him from running back to Vrindavan, they sent him to Ujjain, to the school of Sandipani Muni, where he stayed 2 months and learned the 64 arts. So they were thinking, it'll be too far for him to run away. So then he will forget about Vrindavan. Then he'll get an education, and he'll learn that he's a prince and not a coward boy. Because Vasudeva is a Kshatriya, and Devaki is a Kshatriya. No, Devaki I think is mixed caste, but she may be Kshatriya and Vaishya. But Vasudeva is Kshatriya, so Krishna, in one sense, at least in that relationship, he's considered to be a Kshatriya, the son of Vasudeva. But he's coming from Vrindavan, he has cow dung under his fingernails. He has cow dung under his fingernails, and he has, you know, cow dung between his toes and a peacock feather in his... This is not what princes look like. Princes, Yuvarajas, have impeccably clean fingernails. In fact, they get a manicure every other day. Pedicure and manicure. They're kings. They're very particular about their appearance. This is part of being a king. They're not just having dust on their forehead and their hair sprinkled with goduli, dust from the cow's feet. And this is out of the question. So Vasudeva was thinking, yes, he will understand when he goes to Gurukul that he's not a cowherd boy. He's my son. He's the prince of Mathura. He's not a gwal. He's not a Braj Gopa. Now the question is this Surit Bhav, this Bhav, this mood, this mellow of Vasudeva, is he exhibiting by his calculation, by his planning, by his arrangement with his son, is he showing that he has this feeling that Krishna and he are one, like one soul? Is he showing that Krishna's happiness is his happiness and his success is my success? Is he showing that they are like one heart and soul? No, not at all. He's very much concerned about himself. Not because if he was concerned about Krishna, he would send him right back to Vrindavan. Just like, for example, if you have a daughter and she falls in love with the guy next door, and you don't like the guy next door, and you don't like his family, and you don't want to give your daughter to him in marriage. So then you meet your daughter one day, and you say, listen, now your school is going on, but I found a very nice school for you in France. It's a very, very prestigious private school. You can get a very good education there. They have computers in every class. And if you go to that high school, then you get very high qualification and can enter a very good college. So I've made all arrangements. You'll be flying tomorrow to Paris, and you'll be going to school there. Daddy, wait a minute. I really like this school over here. And all of a sudden, your relationship with the boy next door is finished. So obviously the father is not calculating for your success, at least emotional success, or heart success, love success. He's not thinking of your happiness. He's thinking of his happiness and his prestige and his peace of mind. So Vasudeva is exhibiting the same mood and activity. So this disqualifies him from Surit Bhav, the Surit Abhilash. But only in Braj can one find pure love. Brajvasis only want Krishna's happiness. Whatever makes Krishna happy, that's what they want. They want that. From our side, on our level, we pray to Krishna because we want him to make us happy. We pray, oh God, please make me happy, please help me, please give me this. We never think Krishna needs me. We never think Krishna needs me, or what can I do for Krishna? sounds like there's one politician in America, the famous president, and once he was addressing the people in a public address, and he said, "Don't think what your country can do for you. Think what you can do for your country." So this is a similar thing. The devotee should not think, "Krishna, let me think what you can do for me. Let me pray to you what you can do for me." We should think, "What can I do for you? Let me pray. Oh Krishna, are you praying to me for something?" Krishna may also be praying, "Oh my dear devotee, you know I'm praying to you that I want your love. I'm praying to you, please give me your love unequivocally, without any adulteration. Please give me all of your love. I'm praying. Can you do that for me? Can you please give me all your love? Can you please give me all your attention? Can you please render all your service to me? Give me your full heart and soul. I'm praying for that. Can you please fulfill my desire?" So this is a different way of thinking, that God needs us. God wants us. God is praying to us. Do we hear His prayers? Can we hear His prayers? Are we prepared? And if we hear His prayers, Krishna's prayers, are we ready to fulfill His prayers? Because we damn sure want Krishna to hear our prayers. "Krishna, are you hearing me up there? I'm praying to you. Please give me a new car, give me a new job, give me new money. Please help me pass my entrance exams. Please help me get promoted to the next class. Please let my marriage work out. Please everything happy, blah, 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 this, that, the other thing." So we offer so many prayers to Krishna. But what about that's called objective. What about subjective view? We make ourselves the object and he's looking at us. What's Krishna? Krishna's saying his prayers at night. Radharani's saying, "Oh Krishna, what are you praying?" "Oh, I'm praying that Krishna Das will fulfill my desires. I'm saying, oh Krishna Das, please love me unequivocally. Please love me without any interruption. Please love me without any hesitation. Please give up all your attachments. Please surrender to me fully. Sarva Dharma Pratyaja. I'm praying to Krishna Das." Radharani says, "Oh really? Do you think he will answer your prayers? Do you think is he listening? Isn't he too busy with his leela? Isn't Krishna Das too busy with his leela to hear your prayers? He's wrapped up with his imitation Radharani. Krishna Das is wrapped up with his imitation Radharani. So do you think he's going to hear your prayers, Krishna?" "Oh yes, he'll hear my prayers because my prayers are full of surrender, full of Sharanagata Bhav. I have a great mood of surrender. I'm really surrendering to Krishna Das. And I have great faith in Krishna Das. I'm surrendering, I have great faith. I'm sure he'll hear my prayers." "Well, if he hears your prayers," Radharani is speaking to Krishna, "Krishna, if your Krishna Das hears your prayers, do you think he will answer, he will respond and act accordingly and answer and fulfill your prayers?" "Oh yes, I have lots of faith in Krishna Das." So Krishna's up there praying to us. And we're down here, "Oh Krishna, whatever you're praying for me, I'm praying the opposite from you." So this is a dilemma. You're praying that I will surrender to you and serve you, and I'm praying to you that you'll surrender to me and serve me. "Oh God, please surrender unto me and fulfill all my desires and serve me." But you're from your side, you're praying to me, "Please surrender to me and surrender to me and serve me and fulfill all my desires in pure devotional service." So who's going to make a decision here? So obviously we should be the instrument in the hands of Krishna. We should fulfill his prayers for us. And our prayer should be the same prayer that he has. And our want should be the same want that he wants. And we should be one with the desire of Krishna. Whatever he wants, we should want. So we should, like the Brijvasis, they only want Krishna's happiness. Whatever makes Krishna happy, that's what the Brijvasis want. They want that. So Vyasadeva was not satisfied after he wrote all the Vedas. So then Narada Muni advised him, "In all the Shastras you write that the Jivas are searching for God, Atato Brahma Jignasa." All the Jivas are searching, inquiring about God. "But now you should present a new message in the Srimad Bhagavatam," Narada Muni told Vyasadeva. "You're not satisfied, you're discontent, because everywhere you're telling Atato Brahma Jignasa, Tamasimam Jyotirgama, come out of the darkness, go to the light. Now is the time to inquire about God. Look for God, search for God." Look for the kingdom of God. You're telling this in all the Vedas. But in the Bhagavatam, you have to give a different message, my dear Vyasadeva. You have to explain how God is searching for his devotee. This is the message of Bhagavatam. God is searching for his devotee. Brahma stole the cows and coward boys. And what did Krishna do? He personally went searching for the cows and the coward boys. He went to find them. He was crying for his friends. Oh, where are my coward friends gone? When Shuddha Sattva enters the heart, the Shuddha Sattva means his Bhava Bhakti, the devotee will feel, Krishna's hungry, he's thirsty, he's tired, I must feed him. When Krishna is separated from Radharani due to her man, he thinks how to pacify her. When these feelings come in the heart, then it melts in Bhav. And we'll continue there tomorrow. Bhajan Rasyam Ki Jai.